We are starting a new series today called Home Sweet Home. Everyone say Home Sweet Home. Do you guys like the new graphic? I like it. It's like the old cross stitch. Can you put the original one? Is that possible? I just made Elena nervous. This is her first time today. Is that awesome? Good job. Is it your first time? No? Yes? No? Kind of? Maybe? Yes. Good job, Elena. I love it. Cross stitch. Home sweet home. The entire concept of this sermon series is really putting the sweet back in home. I know that if I interviewed every single person in here and really asked, what is home to you? And everyone was brutally honest, I think we'd all have completely different responses. I don't think anyone would be the same. It'd be all completely different. And especially if I interviewed you from your entire life of your home, from birth till now, and also your future. If you interviewed every single year of your home, what would it be? This entire series is simply putting the sweet back in the home. And I'm not just looking at our home and our past, our present, future home, but I'm also looking at our church home. I want you to keep that in mind today. Putting the sweet back in our church home and our home home. Today's message is, before I get into today's message title, I really love the sermon series titles throughout this whole series. All of them are all the cliches and nuances, everything that I could find on home. And so today is, home is where the heart is. Everyone say, home is where the heart is. Home is where the heart is. Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. If our home is where the heart is, we can look at this verse and understand what we treasure and value is where our heart is. And I think I would say everyone in here understands that where your heart is, your home is. And if you know what you value in life, where you feel most at home will dictate, is your home your home? And for some men, we can get caught up and our work becomes our home. That's where we feel comfortable. We enjoy going to work more than going home sometimes because our heart is there. Well, God is calling us to put our heart fully in our home. So today I want to give three ways of creating a sweeter home. And I really tried praying and understanding what God is speaking to me because I understand that our church DNA is not the 1950s white picket fence and everyone is in the same nuclear family situation. You know, white picket fence, two dogs, a big one, a small one, and two kids. We're not all in the same boat. I understand that. We have single people. We have married people. We have divorced people. We have every rainbow of the spectrum is here today. And so I really want to be sensitive to that. So hear out this message. I got my 3 points by listening to the Holy Spirit, but also reading. I was looking at how to work on your home. From not a Christian standpoint, but a DIY, what are those channels, the home channels, the HGTV, thank you. I found a blog, it was entitled Upgrades to a Healthier Home. And they give 3 ways to upgrade your home to a healthier home. Just practically, things that you can do to your house to make it healthier. And I was listening to the Holy Spirit and I was like, that's spiritual. That clicks over more than these people know. The first thing they say to do is work on the entryway. Entryway. This blog says, the first step to a healthier home is fixing the entryway. It sets the tone for everyone in the home and everyone encountering that home. It also keeps out all the unwanted things. It lists off, by having a healthier home, you fix the entryway because it prevents all of the little critters that like to come in, How many of you know if your doorway doesn't meet the bottom, things like to come in at night? Has anyone ever had that issue before? Like the little, little things come in. And they also said pesticides, when they're spraying around, the wind just naturally comes under. And so you wanna work on your entryway. That's the most important thing. The first thing, you gotta get locked in. Your entryway. When I was praying about the entryway, I was asking God, what does that represent to us as a Christian, as a believer? The physical entryway is represented as the vision of your home. Really think about it practically. The vision, if you have a solid vision, it'll help keep out what you don't want in. It'll allow in what you do want in. Everyone in the home understands, because they walk through the vision daily, understand what this home is about, and every person looking from the outside in understands what your home is about if you have the correct vision. Vision is critical. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2. This is one of the first verses I memorized. It's one of my favorites, and I probably add this to sermons, I don't know, maybe 10, 15 times a year. Then the Lord answered me and said, record the vision and inscribe it on tablets. Everyone say tablets. That the one who reads it may run. I just love that imagery. Chiseling out, writing on these stone tablets, something so clear, something so precise, something so understandable that anyone who sees it will run after whatever they read about. Proverbs 3:3 says, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. It is the plans and purpose of your home. Really think about it. Do you have goals? Do you have purpose? Do you have vision? This is one that it's often missed in a Christian home. Do you have boundaries for your home? During our my wife's and my premarital actually, it was a premarital. I'm glad that just got invented. Premarital, wow. Premarital counseling. We had this doctor talking with us, and just brilliant lady, and she goes, and we thought we had it dialed in. My wife was on the marriage and family track. I was gonna be a pastor. I was like, we got this, babe. And we go in, and the doctor goes, all right, so you guys, let's work on communication. We're like, we already talk. We send you I love you texts. Isn't that good enough? And we, you know, she starts going through all the different things, and she goes, what's the purpose of your marriage? What do you guys want to do together? We're like, have a home? And she started working on all the different things. The vision. We really had to write down a vision for our home. Did you know one of my favorite parts of these verses is tablet? Tablet. Everyone say tablet one more time. Tablet. Did you know that the history of, in Hebrew, whenever the Bible mentions tablet, it's actually referencing their first day of school? So it comes up a lot. When there's a reason why Moses wrote on tablets the Ten Commandments. There's a reason why tablets are mentioned whenever it talks about vision and about sweetness. Have you guys ever noticed when the Bible talks about sweet like honey and represents bees, and it says, when honey to my lips, have you heard those songs? When there's honey and there's tablets, and to us we're like, oh yeah, it's neat imagery, it's great. Well, do you know the first day of school, very first, the kids would walk in and the teachers would have their tablets that they'd be learning the Torah on. These tablets they'd have to start writing out every single word of the first five books of the Bible. Have to write out the complete thing to memorize it. You know, the first day of school, they'd have their tablet sitting there. I imagine a desk, it probably wasn't a desk, but they'd have their tablet there. And the teacher, before any of the kids got there, would pour honey on top of every single tablet. They'd covered in honey. Some of you may have already heard this and know this, but they do it And then the first day of school, the kids would take the tablet and they'd have to lick the honey off. That's how they start the first day, and they end the first day and say, "Let the word of God be sweet on your lips like this honey is on this tablet. Let the word of God come forth from you as sweetness to build people up, to encourage." And it was just this imagery that every single school, every single first day of class is started with this. And that's why tablets were so important in the Old Testament. Anytime someone read tablet in the Torah, or read tablet or wrote tablet, anytime you heard it, they would have this flashback and remember, the word of God is precious and sweet to my life, just like honey to my lips. It's critical that you have a vision for your home. What's your purpose? Why do you live with your home? Are you going to do something with your home? Are you going to do something with your spouse? Are you going to do something that builds up and encourages? Because God says that having a vision is the sweetness of it. Just like the vision is the entryway, it sets the tone for everyone in the home and everyone looking at the home. It keeps out unwanted stuff because you set up boundaries and welcomes in wanted people. I read this paragraph on how to obtain a vision, in case you're wondering. To create a vision, begin by identifying your core values, your passions, what you believe to be your purpose, and how you envision your life. From there, be more specific and remember to be clear. Your vision should embody your values and your view of the future without being too generic. Your vision can also change over time. The point is to have one so you know why you're doing what you do and you're happier doing it. The same process applies when you're creating a vision for any other aspect of your life, such as your career or business. I have this written down. If you'd like this emailed to me, just let me know after service. I was thinking about a vision in regards to glasses. These are my actual glasses. They're not very strong, but I at one point got glasses. Doesn't fit well with a microphone. Hold on. Adjusting, there we go. Glasses. Did you know, like glasses, you gain three things when you gain a vision. Glasses and a vision kind of pair up physically and spiritually. With a good pair of glasses, you will gain focus. Same with a vision. You'll be able to focus specifically on what you want to accomplish in your life. Do you know the difference between like a shotgun and a rifle? A shotgun just scatters all over the place, and a rifle focuses in. One is great close range, but one is meant for longevity. With a vision, it's geared for longevity. A shotgun is very temporary. Also, with a good pair of glasses, it removes strain. Like, have you ever had just an old pair of glasses, and you're constantly trying to read, and you're like doing this thing, and you're just straining your eyes? Is that just me? No, okay. I had one person nod, everyone else blank stares. Oh, I've never experienced that. It removes strain. With a good pair of glasses, you remove strain. With a good vision, it removes strain on your life. If there's strain, frustration, anxiety within your home, work on vision. What's our purpose? What are we going to do? Another thing with having good pair of glasses is you're able to see the direction you're headed, right? Have you ever been driving and you don't have glasses on and you're like good to see like 10 feet in front of you and everywhere else you're like, well, when I get there, I'll see what's really happening. You know, when you put on the glasses, you're like, it just all of a sudden moves from a VHS tape to like a Blu-ray player. And all of a sudden you're able to see, oh my gosh, my life is in HD now. You know, and you can see longevity. With vision and a purpose in your life, it becomes longevity versus short term. A purpose. Number two. In the blog, it said, after working on the entryway, focus on the kitchen for a healthier home. The blog talks about how the entryway prevents all the harmful stuff from coming in. And it's really, this article is talking about how to really create a healthier home, specifically health-wise, what you breathe in, what you intake. And it said the next focus is the kitchen. Because in the kitchen is everything that touches in the kitchen, you will actually consume it. So if you have stuff that's just gross in the kitchen, you sitting around, your food will touch that, then you ingest it, then you got stuff inside of you. I'm kind of like a germaphobe a little bit. David Siebler makes fun of me quite a bit about it. And anyway, I was gonna tell a story, but I'm gonna skip that for now.
I wanna hear it.
You wanna hear it? I was with, he needed help moving something, and we go over and we're moving it, and so we get it into the truck, and afterwards I was like, hey, I just need to wash my hands real quick, and he's like, well, let me see if everything's working. So he goes in the restroom, he's like, oh yeah, plumbing's on. I'm like, oh, where's the soap? And he goes, well, there's no soap here right now. I'm like, so soap? What do you mean? And the rest of the way, I was like, I gotta wash my hands. And I get a lot of anxiety about that. So I don't know. Just pray for me. I don't know. It's just something. I had a teacher that was super paranoid about germs and growing up. And if your pencil fell off the table, you had to take it over and wash it off with soap. Not hand sanitizer, because back then there wasn't really hand sanitizer. Wash off with soap and then wash your hands off with soap and come back. And it was just like 20 times a day. Anyways, that view into my life and that happened to me. The kitchen. Oh my goodness, I should take some of that on a podcast. The kitchen. This article talks about everything that touches. Do you know, I was hearing that salmonella? I always want to say like salmonella, yeah. From salmons. Just kidding, it's not. Salmonella. Did you know, I was researching about this. It said that salmonella, if it's out, it can last me present for about 14 days. Did you know that? Is that crazy? I didn't know a salmon could last that long. Sit out. Just kidding. Pastor humor, I guess. Talks about watch what's surrounding, because it'll be intaken into your body and it'll affect you drastically. Watch what you intake. And then also talks about if you're the one preparing it to give out to people in your family, watch out, because they'll intake it how you prepare it. I was praying through this point this one abruptly just came to me, and it really represents communication. Communication. Watch how you prepare your communication, because what you say about yourself will come into you and sit in your heart. What you say about others and to others, watch out, because it goes inside of them. They consume it. It sits in their heart. It rests on their mind. I think we've all experienced bad communication at some point. Someone just had a long day, they're frustrated, and you're excited, you share something, and then they just back up the dump truck and just unload on you. You know, and it sits in your heart. Do you know what I'm getting at? Communication. The second step to a healthier home, bringing the sweet back into home sweet home, is communication. Matthew chapter 7, verse 3 through 5 says, "Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to a plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." Communication. Proverbs 12:18. "The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." Anyone who has been married longer than, I would say, 10 days knows that a key success in marriage is communication. Married people, can you agree to that? If you don't communicate, it might not be working out the best at that moment. Communication. Communication. And furthermore, if you've been married longer than maybe 5-10 years, you learn the style of communication makes all the difference. It's easy to communicate, "You pick up the kids here, you do this, you do this, you do this," versus communicate to build up and encourage. All right, so 3 steps to healthy communication. 3 steps to healthy communication. I always heard the saying, you have 2 ears and 1 mouth, so listen more or whatever. Yeah, how does the old saying go? Is that it? So listen. Listen twice as much. I kept thinking about that, and I came up with my own. Because I can do that. Ready? It's listen, then talk, then listen again. In that order. So A, listen. First, listen to the other person, but don't think of what you got to say. Just listen. Listen. The first step to healthy communication is really listen and hear what they're saying. You sat on the wrong side, Nancy. B, talk. Respond to what they said. Validate them. If you're not responding to what someone says to you, that means you didn't even listen to them in the first place. Validate them. Well, have you ever been in that argument or that moment where you're talking to someone who's important in your life and they say, this is happening and this is happening, and don't just say, "Well, it's because of this." Say, "Man, I feel for you. I'm here with you. I'm sorry you're going through that." Share how you feel. "Man, I love you so much. I'm here for you. How can we do this together? We're in the boat." Last one, C, and I know this is basic information, but it's a great reminder. Listen again. Listen to the response after you talk with them. Listen. All right. Check out these quotes. Bryant McGill said this: "One of the most sincere forms of respect is actually listening to what another has to say." Henry Nouwen, one of my favorite authors, says this: "Without listening, speaking no longer heals." Let that one sink in. Without listening, speaking no longer heals. Communication. All right, and number three, the blog talks about the third place that you really want to work on in your home for a healthier home is your bedroom. It's where most people spend most of their time. It's where you sleep there. It's where you do stuff. It's just you're in your bedroom the most. Work on your bedroom. So I put 3 things you do in the bedroom to create a sweeter home. You change out of old smelly clothes into fresh clean clothes. Right? Does anyone ever Change from clean clothes to dirty clothes. That was awkward. Someone raised their hand. Kind of. There's nothing better than taking off dirty clothes you've been working in, or you've been sweating in, or you work out in, and like just taking them off into the hamper and putting on like that nice clean pair of clothes. You know that feeling of just like, ah, oh, I just got the grime off of me. This feels so good to change. This represents removing past baggage, sin, and filth. It really is asking for forgiveness. I took a right turn on that one, huh? That was a fast. Three things you do in the bedroom to create a sweeter home. Ask for forgiveness. Ask for forgiveness. On the flip side, maybe you need to forgive someone. Second thing you do in the bedroom, you rest in preparation for tomorrow. You sleep. Rest, and I know I've spoken on this a lot, but rest is preparing for tomorrow, not running from today. Rest. Rest. One of the main ways to create home sweet home and really having your heart in your home is not rest out of weariness and running away from something, but rest as in, man, today it was bad, it was good, it was whatever, it's behind me, and now I'm going to prepare for tomorrow. Because God has something in store for me for tomorrow, and I'm going to be ready for it. I need to let go of today. I need to let go of my past. I need to let go of all of that, change out of my old garments, put on the new ones, and now I need to rest for what's in store for tomorrow. Because I have a purpose, I have a vision in my life. All right, third thing. But I want to read a verse because I don't want us to get sidetracked on this one. Deuteronomy 34:10. No prophet ever rose again in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew with such great intimacy. The third thing is intimacy. I'm not just talking about the married couples, but I'm talking about every single person. Young, blessed with age, married, single, intimacy. Intimacy in the Hebrew is translated as being fully open with someone. Being face to face. The Bible says face to face is the transliteration of intimacy, saying, I see you for who you are, and you see me for who I am. It's just being honest. Intimacy is being honest with yourself and being honest with people in your home. Saying, listen, this is where I'm hurting. This is what's going good. Let's have communication in this. Intimacy, that's what the last one is. To create a more sweetness in your home, be intimate. Are you honest with yourself and with God? I think it's interesting that Moses, God literally says through the Bible, Moses had intimacy like no one else with God. And you look at Moses, because we have these times in the Bible where Moses was talking face to face with God. And it wasn't just, God, you are wonderful. You are magnificent. You are great. No, he was just honest with God. God, I don't think I can do this. I stutter. God, who am I? I'm the worst choice out here. It's being honest with God, face to face with him. It's not lying about ourselves or to ourselves of what we are, but it's just coming to a conclusion of saying, God, here's me in all my weakness. Here's me in all my strength. Here's me in everything I'm doing. God, I need you. To put the sweet back in a home sweet home. It's being honest with God. Here's what I want to do. I purposely wrote a shorter message today to have a reflection time at the end. Janelle, would you come up and, I don't know if you want to just lead out in acoustic worship or if you want to lead out in a song, but be led by the Spirit. Here's what I want to throw a challenge out today. And this might be hard for some of you. It might be great for some. It might be confusing or awkward, but I pray that you would take some time in honest reflection and honest intimacy with God. And in something I mentioned today, I mentioned a lot of different ways to make your home a sweeter home. By letting some past things go, by gaining a purpose for your future, whatever it is. Would you take this time and reflect on what God is piercing in your heart right now? Whether it's communication, whether it's having a purpose, whether it's forgiveness, or just being open with yourself and honest with a self-check. Would you take a moment and have your notes out and start writing out. If you need to craft a vision for your home right now, start writing out values. If there's some deep forgiveness you need to let go of past hurts, man, write those out. This is your time to say, God, I want my home to be more than just a living space, but to be my space. Enter into worship and write these out.